Grace and peace be to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who showed us perfect obedience before his Father and before his Word, dear fellow redeemed. Civil disobedience is an idea that is thriving in our culture today. It's growing and it's popular because many people feel that there are several injustices out in the world, that several wrongs that need to be righted. Most people realize that our culture is not perfect and that we can improve, but few people can agree on what exactly is needed in order to accomplish that. Within this type of climate, disobedience, whether prefaced by civility or not, seems to thrive quite a bit. As we look at our theme for today, we stop to address the topic of obedience in God's Word and how it applies to the world today and to our faith. Somewhere along the spectrum between disobedience and obedience is this concept of civil disobedience. What is it, and what should Christians think about it? Is there ever an appropriate time to disobey the authorities around us, and what constitutes that appropriate action? What does God sanction when it comes to obedience and disobedience, and what are the different factors that go into that? Those are some of the questions that we hope to answer today. The term civil disobedience was coined in 1848 by author Henry David Thoreau. He penned an essay about this action where he talked about how there are times in citizens' lives where they have a moral obligation to disobey an evil and corrupt authority. Thoreau was directing his essay toward the government at that time and things that he disagreed with that the government was conducting. Closely related to civil disobedience is something our culture is very familiar with, and that is legal protest. The difference between the two being that civil disobedience actually involves disobeying or breaking a law, whereas protest does not necessarily involve that. Examples of famous acts of civil disobedience in our nation's history are the Boston Tea Party, the Civil Rights Movement, and the refusal of some to enter the military draft during the Vietnam War. Today we see many similar movements, from the Capitol Hill organized protest here in Seattle to mobs of individuals tearing down monuments across our nation. Civil disobedience is as hot and divided a topic as it has ever been in our nation's history. As we think about these thoughts, I direct your attention to the portion of God's Word we're going to study for today, and that is Romans 5, 19 to 20. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many became sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will become righteous. The law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace overflowed much more. We take up this study today because God emphasizes the quality of obedience in his Word, and that is best exemplified in the person and work of Jesus, our Savior. God also warns about disobedience, which is demonstrated with the action of Adam in the Garden of Eden when he fell into sin. The Holy Spirit led Paul in these two simple verses to essentially summarize the whole purpose of the Bible, the whole purpose of our Christian faith, to demonstrate and show for us the message of the law that condemns our sin, but also the message of the gospel that reminds us and promises us that we're forgiven in Jesus. That entire thought is encapsulated in just these two verses. Now, what's interesting about this is that although the Bible uses many different words to describe what is good, what is right, the Holy Spirit chose to use the word obedience here in our text. Likewise, of all the words that the Holy Scriptures use to describe evil and sin, the Holy Spirit chose to use the word disobedience here. As we discuss and look at the practice of civil disobedience in our culture, this section has a bearing on those topics, and as well as having a bearing on our Christian life. To summarize very clearly, God values obedience, God warns about disobedience. But obviously, as simple a summary as that is, there's always more to the discussion than just that basic premise. The knee-jerk reaction by many people to the Christian emphasis on the value of obedience is that it causes people to become mindless followers of authority figures. While there are many examples in the history of both our world and the history of Christianity of individuals who failed to act or conformed to wicked governments or authorities, it's not the fault of obedience as a moral and good prospect from God. Rather, those failures are often due to Christians who are lazy or indifferent about their faith, who talk a good game about following Christ but don't actually want to do anything of that nature. We must also remember that although Christians make mistakes, we should recognize they have a sinful flesh too that constantly bombards them with temptations. We are called to a higher standing by Christ and to go above and beyond what the rest of the world would do when it comes to moral behavior, but no Christian is perfect either. The point is, the failure of Christians, past or present, to do the right thing does not negate the value that God places on obedience. Likewise, when the wickedness of institutions and governments causes Christians to civilly disobey the authorities, God says it must always be done in truth and to honor His name. Far too often, when we see civil disobedience conducted in our world, it's a form of almost self-idolatry. It's all directed at the individual's glory, at the individual's desires and what they want to have happen, rather than trying to honor and glorify God through one's actions. Honoring God is often the furthest thing from people's minds when they disobey the authorities. As we see recently in the last couple months, forms of anarchy, rioting, and looting in many of the cities across our nation. No matter how corrupt we may think the government is or how much injustice is going on, these attitudes and actions are never acceptable for the follower of God. It's never acceptable for a Christian to participate in or support these activities or these forms of disobedience. God does not say you have to be a mindless follower of all authorities here on earth. There is wisdom and discernment in practicing one's faith and by being obedient to God and to the authorities. But even in the face of wrongdoing and injustice, the follower of God who is obedient will still speak with kindness and compassion. The follower of God will still point others to Jesus by what they say and do. The follower of God will still be honest even when disagreeing with someone else. The follower of God will do everything in his or her ability not to offend others, especially other Christians. The follower of God will give no indication of following or supporting something of sin or something of false teaching. The follower of God will always put the best construction on what others say and never try to deliberately misrepresent their position. And the follower of God will be willing to sacrifice their freedom and right out of love for their fellow neighbor. These are hardly the attitudes we see associated with disobedience today, even civil disobedience. And Christians are the ones who are called to lead the way in this regard. There are never any good excuses for the believer to let anger and hate be the leading and motivating factors of one's ideology. Many of the violent activities conducted in our nation in the name of civil disobedience have been apologized away as justified because of the inherent systemic problems of our government or our nation. From God's perspective, that is an unacceptable excuse for a Christian. No matter how shamefully or wrongfully the government or any type of leader treats you, God still values obedience even in the face of wickedness. And in those moments where God does call one to disobey the authorities, it still must be done in love. Where are these truths found in God's Word? Well, the passage before us today is a great example of this very topic and how directly it can affect our faith. Disobedience without a good reason, God says, is sinful. The basic meaning of the word disobedience in the Greek tells us even more about how God views it. The idea behind this word for disobedience means to refuse to listen to something. It's an attitude that's associated with wisdom, teaching, and instruction. And the disobedient individual is viewed as the one who shuts his or her ears to what is being said by God and just simply refuses to take it to heart. This is how God characterized the sin of Adam at the very beginning, and it fits well. We know that God warned Adam about not falling into sin. He told him what was right. He told him what was wrong. And Adam chose not to listen. Likewise, you can look at any lesson of sin or warning in God's Word, and you'll see a connection to refusal of listening to God. From Adam to Cain to Sodom and Gomorrah, to the children of Israel at the Exodus, to the children of Israel under the judges and the kings and the prophets, to the cities of Chorazin and Jerusalem during Jesus' time, to the mobs of Jews and the Roman soldiers during the time of the early church in the New Testament letters. All across the Bible, wherever you see disobedience, you see a refusal to listen to God. As it pertains to our lives, God's Word is also clear about how we should view our civil authorities and leaders. Romans 13 states very clearly, "Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. So then the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves." Consider that these words were first given to the congregation in Rome who had to deal with generations of ungodly, evil, and murderous Roman emperors. These Christians were persecuted in a way that no other era of Christians have been persecuted. And here to them, God says, you still must obey the authorities that are over you. Even when you seek to protect your faith, even when you have to break a law to still honor God, you must still, in every capacity that you can, treat those leaders with respect. God applies the same thing to our day and age, and this is a very unpopular teaching, even among many Christians. People simply don't want to obey the leaders that they don't like. But rest assured, just because a leader is put in a position by God does not mean that he or she is perfect at their job. It doesn't mean that they're inspired by God. There are numerous examples of horrible and godless authority figures. God is not telling us in these words that he supports the agendas of evil and wicked leaders or that he condones every action that they commit, nor do we have to. Rather, God is telling us that we need to maintain respect for authority. And that's always going to be tied in some way to the individual who is occupying that office. God says the parallel to respecting the earthly authority figures in our lives is that we respect him through that because he instituted those offices. Scripture also tells us, though, there are times when we must disobey. Acts 5:29 says, gives an example of where the disciples said they must obey God rather than men. They were put in a position and a situation where to obey the government authority in that instance would be to disobey God. And when we are faced with those circumstances, God comes first. In Scripture, this is the only exception to God's command to obey authorities, be they a parent, a teacher, a pastor, a government leader. God's command in almost every instance is that we obey and respect them. In these cases where we have to betray that because of faithfulness to God and his word, it's really the authority figure that has been disobedient because they have refused to listen to what God has said and they've abused their power. As Christians, we need to be very careful at this point. In reality, there are usually very few situations where God calls us to civil disobedience in this way. But what we see in our culture is a celebration of disobedience by many people, almost a love affair with the concept of disobedience, especially to the government and to authorities. Remember, the call to disobey in the specific circumstances that God talks about is always done with respect to His word. And so there must be a basis from God's word that tells us that we should disobey in those circumstances. If you don't like the policy of a current government leader, if you didn't vote for them, God doesn't say you can be disrespectful and disobedient to them. Likewise, for a child, if you think you know better than your mom or dad, God does not give you the right to say and do whatever you want. In a congregation, if you don't like the pastor's preaching style, or you don't like the way that he does other things in the church, it's not your prerogative from God to be disrespectful simply because of that point. Everything needs to go back to a reason that is justified in God's word. I know that these are not easy things to hear. Some of you may disagree. Certainly, all of you probably recognize how this idea grates against the kind of culture that we live in. I simply ask you to study the Word of God on these matters, to look at the passages, and encourage those around you in your community to do the same. It helps if you think about obedience as a relationship. When it comes to making decisions in our lives, when to obey, when to disobey, from the words we speak to the movements that we support to the actions that we commit, when it comes to those things, God expects our decisions to be based in truth and to be committed and faithful to Him. And if you think about that in terms of a relationship, it kind of makes you think of a marriage. Marriage is the deepest, most intimate relationship that we know as humans. And as God designs it, it is based first and foremost on a deep and faithful commitment. Many are the heartaches and trials of individuals who enter into relationships of a romantic nature based on romance and infatuation alone. That eventually, at some point, is going to dry up and evaporate, and there needs to be a deep connection of commitment there to hold the relationship together. It's very much the same when it comes to obedience. God says that obedience is the path of faithfulness and commitment when it's connected to His word. What we see in the world around us today is a love affair with the concept of disobeying authority figures. It's considered cool and popular to do this. It's in style right now. It's an infatuation that the world has right now to stand up for individual rights and to show nonconformity to any sort of system or standard or authority. That doesn't mean that those who do such things are always wrong. God certainly, as we've mentioned, advocates for instances and times where we need to disobey the authorities. But those situations, at least in our day and age, when connected to the Word, are very few and far between. We get to this point and we ask, why would God do it this way? Why does God put so much of a value on obedience? Why must Christians love and respect their enemies even when they're mistreated? Well, first and foremost, it's the way of Jesus. God calls to mind the obedience of our Savior in undoing the wretchedness and evil that Adam brought into the world through his disobedience. It is through obedience to God's law that Jesus fulfilled the requirement that stood between you and God, the unpaid debt that you owed to God because of your sinful actions. In fact, it was the humblest act of submission, the scriptures tell us, the lowest point that Jesus got to when he was killed on the cross and buried in the grave. It was an act of obedience, God describes. And God calls us to be willing to follow in those very same footsteps. And day by day, even now, the scriptures tell us that Jesus, as our mediator, is acting in service to us. Everywhere Jesus went, he sought to obey his Father, to obey those authorities in his life, and to serve others. This is the way of our Savior. This is the Christian way. Scripture is clear that there is always a time and a place for godly disobedience, but it is rare. And often, it is not needed when we are standing with Jesus. The way of Jesus in the gospel works because, as our scripture tells us, God's grace is always more powerful than the curse of sin. Both the gospel and the law are just elements. As we live in a world that is looking for justice, that is looking to right the injustice around us, the law and the gospel will be there to help. God's moral laws point out the problems that we need to eradicate. They show us what's wrong in our hearts, things that we need to repent of. But God then goes beyond the justice of the law to rescue fallen and lost people with the good news of salvation. That too brings us justice in our lives, a kind of justice that we couldn't find on our own. And the way of Jesus in the gospel has an unparalleled track record. We've talked about the early church before with the Romans, countless other individuals and churches that were maligned, mistreated, persecuted, and they found their hope and their peace in Jesus. In fact, at times they were joyful about suffering for his name, about being mistreated, because it pointed the glory to him. Consider Jonah's story as another example in the Old Testament. Who would have thought that vile and wicked Nineveh, a capital city of one of the most wicked civilizations of the ancient times, the Assyrians, who would have ever thought that they would repent before God? That God's prophet walking through that city in a matter of 3 days would lead the king to sit in sackcloth and ashes out of repentance? God's word is powerful. The way of Jesus in law and gospel is powerful. There is justice to be had there. But it's also a path that values obedience and respect for others. The world around us does not need more violence. We do not need more protests. We do not need more anarchy. We do not need more rioting. We do not need more looting. We do not need more civil disobedience. There are enough outlets in our world today where people can be free to speak their mind and to affect change with one another in a respectful and loving way. But far too often, we don't want to choose those avenues because they're not as convenient as lashing out in anger and being disobedient. Our world does not need more of those things. Our world needs more of Jesus and the way of Jesus. Our world needs more obedience by faith. Let us be on guard not to fall for the world's infatuation with disobedience, but to be wise in discerning the times and the seasons in which we live in the light of God's truth. May the Holy Spirit help us in our lives by our thoughts, by our actions, but also by what we support and promote to reflect Jesus. Even in the face of injustice, and especially at times when we are wronged by others, let us cling firmly by faith to God's simple promise: where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.